You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of Front Row Hoopcast, the show where we talk about nothing but Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle, joined by the man known as K-Schwo, Kevin Schwartz, the man known as Busta, Mr. Marco Tomic. How's your neck, bro?
It's real nice.
Excellent. It's good to hear. Yeah. For many of you observant viewers may notice this is not our normal set. Technical difficulties again, but we are so dedicated that we want to get you the show on time as usual. So this is what we got for today, and we're going to make it work. This episode is brought to you by Butler Absolute Zero. It is a Butler-themed cooler made with ice crystals, keeps everything cold, and has Butler on it, so that's awesome. You can go to ButlerAbsoluteZero.com and order them right now. They are colder than Butler's free throw shooting. Butler fans, we are undefeated, 1-0. Had our first game at Hickey Fieldhouse against Lamar University. We won 89-58, and as I recall, Kevin, you said we won by 40. And we only won by 30. So clearly you are the least most expert
on
the show right now.
We would have won by 40 if we hit our free throws. That is a fact.
Okay. Anyway, the first thing I noticed about this game, our rebounding was vastly improved from the previous game, especially Mr. Kyle Marshall. Kevin Schwartz, the Kyle Marshall enthusiast.
I feel like Kyle Marshall must have watched the Hoopcast because we talked about his lack of effort on rebounding and on the boards. And, you know, I really want to reiterate his potential to be a first-team All-Big East player. He was 19-13 with on 9-13 shooting from the field. There's no reason he cannot average a double-double this year.
Everybody stop.
There's definitely a huge reason he can't do that.
Okay.
Why? Lack of talent?
Not lack of talent. Not lack of athleticism. He is just playing against people his size in Lamar. When he's going to try and get double-doubles against people that are much bigger than him, and they're going to be a little bit more
athletic. All right, here's my
too.
Question.
It's all effort.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are Kyle's post moves?
6.
Are you kidding me? A 6? What was Andrew Smith?
Like a 9.
Oh, my.
Andrew Smith is
okay,
Mr.
Okay,
fundamental.
Okay. And what's Kyle's jump shot on a 1 through 10?
I told you, if he knocks it down, it'll be 15 again.
What is it right now?
6.
Okay, so a guy who's a 6 and a 6 is averaging a double-double in the Big East?
Yeah, he gets some boards, put him back in.
Okay, I love Kyle. He was my neighbor freshman year. I love he's a good guy. Oh, cool. But dude ain't averaging... If he doesn't average 10 points a game, we're in trouble. He's getting that. But okay. 10 rebounds a game?
Rebounding is all about effort. Kevin Love is not big in the NBA, but he's leading the league in rebounds.
Kyle's
right
averaged 4 rebounds the past his sophomore and junior year. What makes him
go
6?
He has 13.
He's going to step up.
Oh, well, yeah, 13. I guess he's averaged 13 for the year.
In 22 minutes.
Speaking of, that's actually a great segue, Mr. Schwartz. Why did Kyle only play 22 minutes?
I don't know why he kept getting taken out.
Last year, he played 21 minutes a game. The year before, 21 minutes a game. Cam played 28 minutes. Kellen, 28 minutes. Serious question. Why is Kyle not playing more?
I couldn't even tell you. I definitely think that he was taking him out too much. When he's getting going, just leave him. If the man's on a roll like that, the man's having a great game, why take him out? Unless he's asking to be taken out at that point, I don't think he needs
to. We always talked about in the last couple of years how the defense with Kyle Marshall has been a struggle. But he looked fine yesterday. There was no real issue on the board or on the defensive end. And he was playing well. I have no idea why Brandon Miller took him out.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Anyone, I'm going to give you a guess. Who was the tallest player on Lamar? How tall were they?
6'9".
False. 6'6".
Called it.
And he was an unathletic goober.
Goober.
He was
and so Kyle Marshall,
six, six.
He was 6'6".
No way.
He was listed at 6'6", I'm telling you.
Well, he was bigger than 6'6".
If Kyle Marshall couldn't straight up thug some dude who was 6'6".
I'm pretty sure, Kevin, you might be able to thug
some
a couple of
Lamar roster.
People.
I'm pretty sure he's bigger than that. Jimmy, how tall is the guy on Lamar?
6'9".
I told you. Check your facts.
Anyway, Kyle should be playing more than 22 minutes, and he should, hypothetically, according to Kevin, average a double-double because he is an athletic freak.
Yes. He's just rebounding. Rebounding is all about effort. It's always been about effort. If he plays hard and goes for the boards, he's going to get them.
I'll tell you what.
You know why he doesn't go for the boards? Because he always backs up because Cam Woods is skying up there to get it. But you know what? Cam doesn't get every rebound.
But you know what? I'll tell you this. Both those guys were getting some lunch money. Yeah. All right. On away from the rebounding bonanza, Kellen and Elijah are two most dynamic scorers according to the world. We're broke in the first half and most of the game, honestly. And it was pretty encouraging that we still were able to drop 89 points with those two guys not playing very well. Kellen Dunham Fan Club President Marco Tomic. What do we think of Kellen Dunham his first performance in regular season?
Plenty of time. Yeah. Not a big deal. He's had off games before. But for our success and what we need to be able to do this year, he can't have these nights. You can't be coming out 4 of 10, slow, sluggish, not being able to put the ball in the hole. Your job is to score. Your job is to lead. President's telling you need to work on it.
Yeah. We had a lot of missed wide open threes. Fromm missed two wide open ones. Kellen airballed one bad. Elijah airballed one bad. It was okay against Lamar, but...
I'll tell you what, that's not holding up against Princeton.
No. It's not.
We'll lose to Princeton if we don't knock those down.
Absolutely.
In his defense last week, we said who's the most important player besides Kellen for production. We said Fromm. He got his points last night. He got his 10 points, and he played well despite not hitting a ton of...
I said Kyle, and Kyle did his part.
You're a genius. Congratulations. Fromm played well. Moving on now. Our point guard situation. Barlow started the game, but the point guards who played the best, Jackson Aldridge.
Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. He's playing so well this year, doing everything right. Kevin, what has been the biggest change?
Confidence. He's getting minutes, and he's taking advantage of them. I mean, he'd come in for garbage minutes at the end of games last year. Now they're putting him in a role where he has to make an impact. And I think there's a huge difference between, oh, I'm coming in because this one's over by 20, or I'm coming in because it's a five-point game, yeah. And Barlow, who is our starting point guard right now, needs a rest. And he's looking for a shot. He's improved greatly on his three-point shooting. I mean, we've never seen him take one in the last 2 years, but he's also not turning the ball over. And if he was fine in transition. When they pressed, he was getting the ball up the court, making smart passes. No complaints right now.
He's being aggressive. He's taking the shots that he needs to take. And it's honestly, if he didn't step up, he wouldn't be seeing the court right now. And he is either let the freshman take over that backup spot, have Renee just jump you and you sit on the sidelines for another year, or step up, do something, make some offensive plays, and that's what he's doing.
You know what, though? He's taking good shots.
Yeah.
He's taking good shots. He was 4 for 5 in the field. That tells me he's being aggressive when he needs to be, but at the same time, only taking it when it's open.
Speaking of Renee, I don't think there was a single player who looked more bored on the court than Renee Castro last night. He was sitting on the bench. Body language says a lot, and he looked like he did not want to be there. We said that a couple weeks ago that he needed to buy into this system, and obviously I'm not in the locker room, but it doesn't feel like that's happening, Marco.
I think he's struggling maybe to find his niche in the system, being able to understand like he can't just go out and do whatever he wants on the court. He's got to play the Butler way. He's got to do what he has to do. He's got to do what the coach asks him, and it's not for him. It's not for him. Like, who knows?
There's a maturity issue here that's pretty obvious from what we've seen the first couple of weeks. And I think it has to do with he probably assumes his production on the court in terms of a stat line will turn into playing time. But we know better. Having seen the Butler system, you play the right way, you're going to get in the game. And because he's not in a position to produce, he feels like he's not contributing, which is incorrect in so many ways.
Ray came off the bench last night. I think it's time to turn to the man, the myth, the legend, Zach Kiefer at the Indy Star for this week's Kiefer's question.
My question this week, guys, what player off the bench this year is most important to Butler's success? And you can't use Elijah Brown. I'm going to go with Nolan Berry. He's been the 4th scholarship freshman off the bench early on so far. But this is the guy that can play. He can shoot from the outside. He can play inside. He can play just about everywhere on the court. The question is how he will play in conference play. If he gets beat up by those bigger, beefier front lines in the Big East, Butler's going to be in trouble when they go to the reserve unit.
All right, thanks, Zach. So, guys, most important player off the bench, Elijah Brown, out of the question. Last night, the first guy off the bench besides Elijah was the Shrabish Patch Kid, who actually had a really great game. But the most important player off the bench, that is a really good question. Marco, take this one first.
My next selfless plug, Devontae Morgan. I think he really comes off the bench. He gives us a spark. He can give us athleticism. He gives us some defense. He stuffs the stats with everything. He can get a block. He scores points. He can do everything, like all the small things that you need to get done. And that's what you need sometimes from the people that come off the bench.
I got to go with Jackson Aldridge. Ooh. We know Barlow is going to be in foul trouble.
Yes, he is.
Every single game. Especially we had a bet going last night to see if he would have fouled out before the 10-minute
mark. I did not participate in that bet. Let me say that.
We didn't actually have a bet, but we talked about it.
Okay, yes, we did.
With Barlow. Aldridge has to come in and step up when Barlow's on the bench. It's going to happen a lot. And right now, he's the number 2 guy.
Yeah.
It's his spot to lose as the backup, and if he plays well enough, he could overtake Barlow for that spot.
Speaking of fouls, last night the Butler faithful and the front row crew got our first taste of the new hand check rules.
Brutal.
And it was a travesty upon a travesty. Okay? I was sitting there watching these fouls take place. I thought we were going to be there till 2 a.m.
Jeez.
The game was going so slowly.
So slow, sluggish. It was supposed to be put in so more scoring can happen. Well, I mean, the scoring's happening, but just taking forever to happen. Sending people to the line over and over and over, again with this one team's getting the foul trouble, it's just going to be ridiculous.
Ari, can you do me a favor?
I could.
What does our free throw percentage say in your stat sheet right there?
A whopping 47.4%, Mr. Yeah. Schwartz.
With these new rules, we're in trouble. Because if we're going to be going the line and we're not going to knock anything down, we're not winning close games. That is the difference between us, you know, having 5 losses last year and ending up with 9. That was probably the difference between us beating Marquette and not beating Marquette. That's going to be the difference this year between winning these Big East games and getting into the tournament or not. We need to shoot better from the free throw.
In defense of the team, that shooting, it's a little weighted. We had a couple guys who dropped a couple of goose eggs with multiple shots. Renee was 0 for 3. Devontae was 0 for 3. 0 for 2 for Devontae, my bad. And who's the third?
Jackson Aldridge.
0 for 3. I mean, those.
It doesn't matter. It's a free throw.
That's what's dropping our percentage. It's a free throw. It's not the whole team. The whole team won't be in trouble. Like,
it's a free. It doesn't matter. It's a team game. Yeah, it's a team game. It doesn't matter what one individual shoots. If they're not going to hold their end at the free throw line, we're in trouble.
But
they're 9 of 19 last night.
It's something that can be fixed. Yeah, 9 of
19. Really? Because it hasn't been fixed the last 3 years.
Shut up. It can be fixed.
It can be fixed.
We've been broke for free throws for the last 3 years, dude.
I don't know. Maybe Kellen Dunham needs to hold a free throw clinic or something for the team. Jesus. But it can be something that can be fixed. Trust me.
Anyway, last point on the Lamar game before I pass out. The defense. How'd we look, Marco?
At times, they were just getting too many easy shots. Nimrod was taking us to the hole hard.
Okay, come on.
No, he was.
He had
20 points on us? Yeah. We're letting some kid from Lamar drop 20 points on us? We're supposed to have lockup guard defenders. That's supposed to be a specialty. Devontae's supposed to be better defensively than that, too. Our guards maybe need to show a little bit better on their defense. The post did step it up, though, from what we saw in the DePaul game.
You can't really fix an offense that doesn't work. But you can improve on a defense throughout the course of the year. It is very promising that we were able to put up 90 again. I mean, I was not expecting that by any means from any Butler team. It looks like effort. Also, Lamar hit a ridiculous amount of 16-footers, which is the lowest percentage shot in basketball.
I think that's mostly what we got for the Lamar game. Be noted, I did call Kevin out for his prediction. He predicted 40 points. We only won by 30. Believe it or not, it was not the dumbest prediction of the evening for Butler-Lamar. Local moron, Title BU, predicted we would win by a measly 6 points, and in a result that surprised nobody, he was wrong. Title BU, get off the internet.
Surprise.
You were an embarrassment to yourself and the university. Goodness gracious. Anyway, on to the topic of last week. Andy Smethers announcing that he Agent Zero, announced that he had transferred from Butler. Kevin, why'd he transfer this time?
Andy transferred because he wasn't getting the playing time. Everybody else in his class is seeing the court right now. What's he doing? Nothing. He knew he wasn't going to play. It was better that he transferred before they played their first official game than by leaving, you know, after the semester because he's not going to get to play for another whole year.
As I recall, flashback time, first episode, Kevin, we made predictions of breakout performances.
Andy Smethers. I gotta go with Andy Smithers. I said Andy, but that was it was spur of the moment, and I couldn't think of anybody else. And I,
you couldn't think of anybody else.
We hadn't seen him
play.
Andy,
I don't know.
We hadn't seen him play yet. We hadn't seen him play yet.
Bail me out.
Let's
Andy.
Just remember that. Okay, this is the second year in a row that a player has transferred before the season started. Last year it was Chris Harrison Dox. Different circumstances. Here's the thing: Harrison Dox left before he even gave it a chance, and he stuck it out for 2 years, and then decided, you know, he wanted to go play somewhere else. I respect him for that, but. Harrison Dox recently called out Brad Stevens in your interview, which was bogus.
I wouldn't say calling out. I mean, that's it, a little bit of a call-up, but it's not the Butler system Brad wanted him to run. It's just not the type of player that Chris really was. And that's, in my opinion, the reason he left.
There was for sure some that's not form a good of place. Miscommunication there.
All right. I feel like Andy's going to head to some small school, IPFW, IUPY. And when he gets there, he's gonna be good, I think. Because he's just a dude who can, you know...
He can hoop.
Spank from behind the three-point line.
Spank from behind.
And...
Tee it up, you say.
But in terms of Butler, we now have an open scholarship. And last year, we got Elijah Brown in the spring because we had an open scholarship. Transfer at the end of this year, player who develops on Butler's radar. This could be big. Kevin, you were saying it's beneficial for both parties.
It's beneficial for both parties because Andy gets to go play basketball, which is he wants to do. But Butler now has a scholarship for a Big East talent. Andy was recruited as a Horizon League player. No disrespect to Andy, but we're looking at 4 or 5-star recruits now, which Andy, which nobody on our team is. That's an opportunity there for us to put out the memo for a big-time player to come in and take that spot and make an impact immediately.
I just wish that maybe some of the setbacks in the summer hadn't happened. This really was the time for Andy to prove himself, step up, try and get some playing time, but some setbacks happened, injuries. It just didn't really work out in the end for him.
Is this the first of several players who may transfer?
I don't know about several. I could see in the next couple of years maybe one. I don't think several, though, by any means.
I don't think there'll be any. We're in the Big East now. Why would you want to transfer from a school that at least should be at the top of the Big East and on a national level? At the end of the day, why would you want to leave Butler? I think we're going to end up getting kids that perform at a smaller school and then want to come to Butler.
Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Domich's Tweets.
Domich's Tweets.
Marco, what's your tweet, dog?
My tweets this week is a little spat between Roosevelt Jones and Renee jokingly back and forth on Twitter. Renee joking says, "You the best defender in the country, though." And Roosevelt replies, "Yeah, you'll never score on me," in all caps. Renee said, "Please, bro, I drop a quick 40. Renee, you need to settle down. Those are some strong words. And Rosie's a little bit bigger than you. Can shove you around. He'll baby you. He'll lock you up."
All right. Thank you for that worthless tweet. I'm glad you wasted our time with it.
No problem.
I'll
to fill you in.
I think that is a great time to end our episode. For myself, Kevin Schwartz, and Marco Tomich, thank you for watching. Please follow us on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube. We're always looking for comments and questions, guys. Happy to answer them.
And get your tickets for the Princeton game. It's a
big
one.
Yes.
Vandy Saturday.
And Princeton. Mm-hmm. Vandy and Princeton.
Guys, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Go Dogs.
Andy Smethers is going to be the most.
How's it feel? How's it feel?
He's still going to be the most improved player this year. Andy Smethers is going to be the most improved player.
Yeah, he's going to be the most improved for IPFW. Check your facts.
He's going to be most improved for IPFW.
Oh, shoot, I wasn't recording.
Ah. Oh.